Tonight we want to look at Psalm 63, and we're going to read one verse, and then we're going to make some application as far as a few of the verses here in Psalm 63, and then we're going to be turning to a few verses. But I want us to kind of think on this thought. Well, let me read the verse, and then I'll kind of give you the title of the message. And so I do want to think about the heart. The heart. You know, the heart, when it comes to, you know, we have the physical aspect of a heart, but we also have the desires of a heart. And so a heart speaks volumes. And I want us to kind of think of something that is heartfelt, something that is heart sincere, and something that is really is the desire of the heart. So verse 8 of Psalm 63 says, "My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We do pray for those requests that were mentioned, the needs there. We pray for those that are viewing tonight and will be viewing. We pray for those that are here. We pray for the youth. We pray for the different ministries of our church. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us tonight. Every time that we open the Word of God and spend some time in it, help us to evaluate ourselves. Help us to see where we are in our life. Strengthen us, encourage us, correct us. Lord, we thank you that we can spend time with you. And so this is our time. And this is the time that you've allowed us to have tonight. So I pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds. And we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. David, in this psalm, is staying very close to the Lord. One of the titles that one writer said for this psalm was "A Thirsty Soul." A thirsty soul. I've also heard this psalm as being called a morning hymn. A morning hymn. The psalmist says he followeth hard after thee. How hard was the psalmist following the Lord? And how hard was the psalmist his desire to be close to the Lord? How eager was the psalmist following? How earnest was the psalmist following? To find these answers, we must consider this psalm. We must consider the aspects. We must consider the desires. As I mentioned in the beginning, you know, the heart can tell a lot of things. You know, you can say words. And you can say words as far as gestures are concerned. And if a person looks into your eyes or a person feels your heart, then they know that it's sincere. There were times that my mother and father would correct us as children. And there were times that my sisters and I would get into a scuffle or an argument or something, and we would do things, and you know, it sometimes reached a point when they're six, it sometimes reached a point to where they had to do some correcting. And one of the things that my mother said more than not was, "Tell her you're sorry," or "Tell him you're sorry." And more times than not, at the time, they were more words than they were heartfelt. There were other times that I can honestly say this, that they were heartfelt and they were sincere. I think as we look at the psalm tonight, I believe that the psalmist was what he was saying in this hymn, if you will, was heartfelt. It was truly a desire to be close to the Lord. And so it begins, and you will find me saying this more than maybe I might say other things, but it begins with a relationship. It begins with a relationship. Having that relationship with the Lord. Because if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, if you don't have that bond in that relationship with the Lord, then you're really not going to understand the heartfelt. You're really not going to understand, because when you have that relationship with the Lord, then you have a small understanding, and I call it small because I don't think we can truly understand what the Lord did for us when He saved us. I mean, we know we're on the way to heaven. We know our sins are forgiven. We know all those things. But to understand the magnitude of what took place on Calvary is overwhelming. If you truly dissect what took place and the fact that He became sin for us who knew no sin, and how that God turned His back on Him, and He did all this because of that love that He has for man, that whosoever will. And so when we have that relationship, then that's when it begins. And so I want to give you just a few things tonight before we go home. I want to give you just a few things tonight in regards to followeth hard for thee. And so the first thing, I want us to look at verse 1 that says, O God, thou art my God. And again, that speaks of relationship. Thou art my God. It speaks of relationship. In other words, when it comes to our salvation and knowing Christ as your Savior, then we can say He's my God, but He's also our God, because that speaks of relationship. David didn't speak of God of just a God. You know, there's times that somebody will mention God, and they'll mention the name God, and it's in generic or general terms. Well, when it comes to our relationship with the Lord and knowing Jesus as Savior, we can say that He is our God, and He is my God, because it speaks of relationship. If we took time, and we won't take time tonight, but if we took time to John 20, verses 24 through 28, there was a time in Thomas's life to where Thomas struggled. He struggled with believing. He struggled with the things that were happening. But yet when he saw Jesus, and when he saw the hands, and he saw, his words were, my God, my God. In other words, he accepted Him, and that speaks of relationship. And if you don't have that relationship, then the rest that we're going to be sharing tonight will be difficult of that understanding. So it speaks of relationship. It speaks of the closeness. It speaks of the fact that He is our God. He is my God, as the psalmist says. And then it goes on to say in that verse, early will I seek thee. He goes on to say, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there's where no water is. So that again speaks of the desire that he has in his heart, that longing for that closeness, for that relationship to become stronger. Personal relationship. That's where it begins, in that personal relationship. So number two, one that followeth hard has a deep longing for fellowship. So you have relationship, which speaks of the fact of He's my God, as the psalmist says, my God. But then it speaks of fellowship, because there is a longing. There is a longing. And so although relationship is where it begins, fellowship is where it continues. It's where it continues. It says, early will I seek thee. In other words, when I think about early, then that speaks of beginning. Beginning. There are people that will tell you, don't talk to me until I get my coffee in the mornings. You hear people say that. Don't talk to me till I get woke up and all those things, because it's harder for some people. I know that I myself have changed down through the years I get up a lot earlier than I used to, even on days that I'm not working or days that I don't have a lot planned. I get up early because I just enjoy that quiet time. I just enjoy that time of getting up, and it's different for people. I used to be one when I was younger. I used to be one that it was okay for me to sleep late. And so a person, their preferences change down through the years. But my point here is not what time you get up, but my point here is, what's the first thing you think about when you get up? Who do you want to talk to when you get up? Who do you want to fellowship? Even if you're just kind of laying there and you're thinking about the day, you know, it should be our desire every day to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to have another day. Yes, it may be a difficult day. It may be a challenging day. There may be some things that we're not looking forward to, we're not happy about. We may have doctor's visit. We may have so many things that we could have in a day. But the most important thing is that you say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Early will I seek thee. And there's that longing that he says, my soul thirsteth. My soul thirsteth for thee. In other words, thirsty. You know, I used to, one of the things, and you don't see them much anymore, but one of the things that I used to love to do when I was younger, and I'd go to my grandpa's farm, is he had a spring. And I used to love, and I would always say, will you go with me to the spring, Grandpa? They wouldn't let me go by myself because I was young. Will you go with me to the spring? And he had a natural spring that had a cover on it. And he had a metal dipper, just kind of like a dipper, and he would take that cover off, and that was some of the best water. That was some of the best water. And you know, just having a sip, you wanted more. And I'll be honest with you, knowing what I know about that quenching that thirst, knowing what I know makes me want some now. I mean, it does. It because I know and I've experienced it. Well, when we've experienced that relationship with the Lord, and we've experienced that fellowship, it should make us want more. I mean, we're satisfied. We're satisfied with what we have in Him, but we should want more of that fellowship. And that's what he's saying. That's that fall of heart. That's that falling hard. Being thirsty for the Lord. Being thirsty for that fellowship. Because when it comes to our flesh, it should long for that fellowship with the Lord. And it even goes to say, in that dry and thirsty land where there's no water. Do you realize tonight when I'm just kind of making a little application here, but do you realize tonight there's not much in the world, and I would just about go to say there's not hardly anything in the world that satisfies. But when we have the Lord in our life, He satisfies. He satisfies. So I also think about that earnest desire, that falleth hard for thee, that earnest desire. The psalmist yearns for that fellowship. He yearns for that fellowship. And I just want to give you a couple of verses, and you don't have to turn there, but unless you want to, but I just want to give you a couple of verses. And one is found in Psalm 143. The Bible says in verse 6, it says, I stretch forth my hand unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. You know, and I think sometimes when we think about that, and when we think about that thirsty land, I think it's something that we can relate to. You know, we've seen dry. It's not dry right now because we just had a storm come through. But we've seen it to where it's been so dry that the ground cracks. It cracks. And it's almost like the ground is starving for water. Now the land is to the point of it don't have anywhere for the water to go, so it runs off. And that's why we've had so much flooding and it comes so fast. But the point is, the psalmist is thirsty in that thirsty, dry land. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for a living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So again, the psalmist is thirsty for that fellowship, thirsty for the Lord. And I'll give you one more tonight, and that's in Psalm 84, verse 2. The Bible says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. That's someone that's thirsty. Thirsty. It's wonderful to know that the Bible says that the Lord gives us the desires of our heart. But our heart has to be in the right place. And I believe that if we're longing for that fellowship, I believe the Lord will pull us up close. And it's almost like he whispers to us and says, I love you. I'm here for you. You know, we struggle. This life, we struggle with a lot of things. We struggle. And we need his help. We need his love. We need that fellowship. We're thankful for that relationship. But the psalmist says, my soul followeth hard after thee. So number three, one that followeth hard is filled with praise and prayer. Filled with praise and prayer. Verse 4 and 5 says of this psalm, says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. There's nothing like praising the Lord. There's nothing like praising the Lord. You know, prayer and praise, maybe I should kind of put it this way, praise and prayer goes hand in hand. They pair. We should always be thankful, even during the hard times of my life or our life. We should always be thankful. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, and they continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And notice what happens. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, I often wonder, sometimes, and you know, I guess in some ways many of us are guilty. But I read a verse like that, and it says the Lord added to the church daily. And it was during the time of their praise and during the time with prayer. You know, if we spend most of our time complaining, if we spend most of our time with a hard spirit, if we spend most of our time being angry about everything and just not having the right spirit, and people see us, are we truly telling people Jesus is the best thing of my life? It's easy to be guilty. Look, there's so many things that's happening in life that none of us are happy about, especially with this world. But you know, I don't ever want to be guilty of someone saying, I don't want what he has, because he just seems to be angry all the time. But if we're praising the Lord, and if we're praying, and if we're thanking, then how can we have a bad spirit if we're constantly thanking the Lord for what he's done? What he's done in our life. How can we have a bad spirit if we're thanking the Lord for what he's done? Then number 4, verse 5 says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. What is it to be satisfied? What is it to be satisfied? One that followeth hard finds satisfaction in the Lord. Possessions, pleasure, earthly joys, they're only for a season. They go away quick, and they can go away in a moment's notice. But he is saying that he is satisfied with the Lord himself. In other words, he don't need anything else, because he's got the best. His blessings were filled with joy because all he had was the Lord. He was satisfied with the Lord. And then number 5, one that followeth hard finds time for the Lord. In other words, there's time set aside. Verse 6 says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. The psalmist here is making time for the Lord. There's a lot of restlessness in the world. There's a tremendous amount of restlessness. And it comes in many ways. It comes in many shapes. It comes in many sizes. It comes instantly. It comes through a period of time. But there's a lot of restlessness in the world. How often does one sit down and meditate on the Lord? Meditate on the things of the Lord. How often does one sit still, slow down, and sit quietly with the Lord? Spending time in God's Word, spending time in prayer, spending time in reflections. Reflecting on the things that the Lord has done. You know, it's easy for us to think about the right nows because it's right now. But I think it's important that we think about what he's done. He brings forth light when we think about his mercy and we meditate on his mercy. When we meditate on his grace, when we meditate on his love, when we meditate on his greatness. Psalm 119, verse 97. The Bible says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all of the day. all of the day. And then lastly tonight, one that followeth hard is confident about their future. Verse 7 says, because thou hast been my help, therefore is the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Simply having confidence in the Lord. You know, past help gives you confidence for the present. Past help gives you trust for the present and the future. Past help gives you assurance in life. We are hiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Hiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Remember something, how that God has brought us through so many things. You know, I think sometimes, and when I'm talking to someone, I'll sometimes give a little piece of my testimony about what God has done. And I'll tell them about this, or I'll tell them about that and how God has helped me. Do you know, it sometimes overwhelms me, because when you start talking about how that God brought you through this and God brought you through that and God took you from here to here, and you know in your heart that it's God that did it. You know in your heart that you didn't have anything to do with it. It was all Him. Then you kind of become overwhelmed. And it's almost like it refreshes you. And the things that you're going through now maybe don't quite seem as hard to bear, because we're focusing on what He's already brought us through. And I know I said the last one, but let me give you one more thing. One that followeth hard promises that God will uphold. No one can follow the Lord in their own strength. You've heard the saying, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, I'm going to change this, and I'm going to change that. You know, we really can't do anything without the Lord. And that's what I want to close with this verse. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. You know, we must first lean on Him. We must first, when I think about that verse, it says, thy right hand upholdeth me. That means that psalmist is leaning on the Lord. Leaning on the Lord. And so for us to praise, for us to pray, for us to meditate, for us to have all those things, it begins with relationship, as I've already mentioned. It begins with relationship. It continues with fellowship. But we must lean on Him. We must lean on Him day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. We need to followeth hard for thee. Followeth hard for thee. It's wonderful when we can read something that the psalmist shares and how it helps us, it inspires us, it paints us a little picture. But I'm thankful tonight that we serve the same God. We serve the same God. And He gives us that help. My soul followeth hard after thee. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for those that are here. We thank you for those that are viewing. And now, Lord, we have to search our own heart. We have to see if things have gotten in our way, if life sometimes gets in our way. Father, help us to have that desire as the psalmist. We understand, Lord, as we look to you, that we just follow you and that you help us. But help us, Lord, to take that time to praise you, thank you, meditate, fellowship, and lean on you. We thank you for life. We thank you for the opportunity of life. Help us not to waste a single minute as the days go by. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for salvation. And we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.